computers, which has turned into a battle between the forces of good and emissaries from hell, with both sides claiming to be the good guys. It's the age-old battle between privacy and security, a slope more slippery than a caffeinated eel in a bathtub full of bacon grease. The problem is, you let one government into your back door, and every other government is going to break land speed records to get in line to do the same, and not all of them will be bringing lubricant. There's no such thing as a virgin repair kit. The FBI says they only need to do this once. Yeah, right. Federal investigators in 11 other jurisdictions have already filed motions seeking access to suspects' iPhone data. A Manhattan DA has 175 iPhones he wants to crack. The FBI says we need to trust them. The same FBI that vowed they weren't conducting illegal surveillance on Americans until it was revealed they were. You mean that FBI? I wouldn't trust that FBI as far as I could throw two handfuls of glue. And the fallacy of the backdoor code remaining secure is so laughable, it should be greenlighted its own sitcom on Comedy Central. Their claim that nobody else would get their hands on this technology is either woefully ignorant or a further demonstration of an ineptitude approaching that of a Sherman tank in the upper branches of an elm tree. The only way to find security in this, the seventh year of the second decade of the 21st century, is through solitary confinement. And finally, supporting the FBI's position, Donald Trump called for a boycott of Apple in a tweet he sent out on his iPhone. You can't make stuff up like this. For KZFR Radio, I'm Will Durst.
This Thursday, don't miss Jim Hightower, Will Durst, and Mary Standish comedy at the Chico Women's Club. It's a benefit for KZFR. More info available at kzfr.org.
Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by North Rim Adventure Sports, specializing in bicycles, cycling apparel, and equipment. North Rim offers full-service bicycle sales, service, and rentals, and features Trek Bicycles USA and other top brands. North Rim Adventure Sports is located at 178 East 2nd Street in downtown Chico or on the web at northrimadventures.com. And by Red Hot Metal. Metalwork of all kinds, industrial to artistic, now offering tools for the burrow glass artist. They can be reached at 342-1970 or at redhotmetal.net. This is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM or online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Danny Toms.
And I'm Danny Toms.
Tonight on Non-Human Radio, we're going to talk about a government agency that our tax dollars support, the Wildlife Services Branch of the USDA, and how they work to support ranchers in the North State by killing predators, including wolves, coyotes, and mountain lions. All that and the vegan calendar of events coming up. Danny, take it away.
Thanks, Jeannie. Today we're going to focus on Wildlife Services, an agency that most of us have never heard of. It is not the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. That's something different. The Fish and Wildlife Service is part of the Department of the Interior and is charged with enforcing wildlife laws, restoring habitat, and protecting fish, plants, and animals. It's probably what you would typically think of when you hear Wildlife Services. It is also not the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. California Fish and Wildlife is responsible for regulating hunting in the state. On the other hand, Wildlife Services is a federal agency under the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and it specializes mostly in killing wild animals that threaten livestock, especially predators such as coyotes, wolves, and cougars. Its annual budget in 2010 was $121 million. half of which was straight out of the federal budget, the other half of which is from fees and contracts with other agencies and entities. It's kind of a lot of money. Outside the ranching community, few have heard of Wildlife Services.
I hadn't heard of them at all.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I had, or I would have confused them with one of these other groups. Since 2000, the agency has killed at least 2 million mammals and 15 million birds, as well as, quote, non-target animals, such as endangered species and people's pets. A dog, after all, is not that different from a coyote, and many dogs have fallen victim to the traps and poisons that Wildlife Services legally puts out to kill coyotes. And in general, killing any mammal by poison is pretty horrific. Although its main focus is predator control in the West, Wildlife Services also does things like bird control at airports to prevent crashes, feral pig control in the South, and rabies control.
So, yeah, there are some reasons why the public would require or deserve government help with wild animals. Rabies control of rabies vectors is a decent reason. But the indiscriminate killing that seems to be the bulk of what Wildlife Services does just doesn't seem to be at all justifiable.
Yeah, I think we have some data in here as we get into this. It's really not a scientifically sound wildlife control method. Killing an adult male mountain lion, for example, tends to lead to more attacks on livestock because that established male kept out the more aggressive juveniles, which just reminds me in my greenhouse of using excessive chemicals to try to kill the spider mites. They tell you, the real gardeners say, don't use the hardcore chemicals because they come back stronger and immune. There's often not a magic solution here.
Well, I mean, the reason why you have the predator in the first place is because they have food.
Right.
Yeah, so... Whether that's your plants or sheep or cattle.
Right, and there's usually an ecosystem that balances these things out.
Yeah.
So studies have also shown that this is true for wolves and black bears. And as for coyotes, an ecologist found that where coyotes are cold, more pups in the litter in the next generation are likely to survive. So that's why even though Wildlife Services has killed nearly 1 million coyotes in the past 10 years, their numbers always bounce back. According to the reporting from National Geographic, the Sacramento Bee, and Harper's Magazine, as well as an animal advocacy group such as the Coyote Project, the agency doesn't appear to be operating with any kind of science-based system to justify these methods. So ideally, you'd be collecting data and effectiveness and have ecologists behind this as to does this really help. Furthermore, when their own trappers are found to be committing cruel and inhumane acts against wildlife, nothing happens to those trappers. A lot of times, those trappers are from the same ranching community that employs its services. It's a very closed network. When you see these sort of closed organizations, as we see nationally, often certain abuses can run unchecked. So, Jeannie.
Yeah, so Christopher Ketchum wrote in the March 2016 issue in Harper's Magazine, talked about how a former Wildlife Services trapper in Nevada, just next door, alleges that he was fired for reporting to his superiors that colleagues had killed 5 mountain lions from airplanes, which is actually a felony. He said his own supervisor told him to mind his own business when he relayed that information. And the same guy also reported that when he discovered a snare that he had set had unintentionally killed a golden eagle, which is a federally protected species, and it's also a felony to kill such an animal. His supervisor told him to, if you think no one saw it, take a shovel and bury it, right? So this is the kind of mentality that is endemic to this, quote, agency, public agency, which I don't really think it's serving the public.
Yeah, I mean, it's our tax dollars, right? At least it should be accountable. This reminds me a lot of last week's shows and the type of comments made within, you know, sort of the chicken factories and the abuse that goes on and the cover-ups that goes on. It's par for the course. It's their normal mode of operation. So, yeah, even this golden eagle, things that are a felony and will end us up in jail if they accidentally do it while protecting ranchers' interests, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
In fact, that should be a major flag in any organization that this mistake happened. How do you correct it? How do you follow up on it? How do you report on it?
Yeah, and that's an issue with this particular agency is the data are just not transparent.
Yeah, I mean, you've heard about this for hundreds of years about, the cattle herds and there was a wolf, so we went out and killed all the wolves for 100 miles, and it's not a scientifically sound approach. Ranchers who run their livestock on public land also impose a huge cost on the public, right? I mean, firstly, they receive direct federal subsidies for farming, crop insurance, things like this. They receive indirect subsidies by these taxpayer-funded agencies like the Wildlife Services. I read an article last week how we produce so much cheese, we stockpile cheese, and yet we're still subsidizing dairies to produce extra cheese that we're then just storing because we actually have too much cheese.
Yeah, and part of it is we are oriented towards the small business, towards the quote family farm, and so some of these policies are originally had good intent, like say through the Depression and such, to keep families afloat, but they've just stuck.
Yeah, so I mean, most farm. This is a bit ad hoc, so people can Google this, but. You know,
or
a lot
call
of,
us and call us on it.
Yeah. Not exactly, if you know. You know, the farming subsidies, yes, farming is a feast or famine. And if your crop's wiped out, you don't want that farmer to go out of business because you want him to grow some food next year. This made a lot of sense in 1850 because you needed food. We don't have those problems anymore, but we have the same regulations or the descendants of those regulations, which now have become
legacies,
a cash cow.
Or albatrosses or anchors.
Right.
Yeah.
They're untouchables for the local politician, just like everyone in the world says we don't need any more fighter jets, but the guy whose district builds fighter jets votes for it every time.
Absolutely.
Even though the president's like, we don't want any of that.
And there's a sort of a mythology that builds up around these encrusted agencies, whether it's the military or wildlife services.
Yeah, so one rancher had reported it would take hundreds of thousands of dollars to pay for hay to feed his sheep, but when he lets his sheep out to graze on public rangelands under BLM grazing licenses that are very cheap, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars he gets to keep. That's how he turns a profit, by feeding off the taxpayer. And to some extent, this is why you can get hamburgers for a dollar. Nobody wants to raise prices on people, but if the whole system is equitable, then people would be able to afford food even if it was at a fairer price. Either way, somebody's paying for this cheapness, and it's the rest of the taxpayers. It's not only ranchers who work with wildlife services. Counties also regularly contract with this agency for so-called pest animal control.
So, Danny, is there any good news in this scenario?
Let's see. I hope so. yes, there is pushback against this horrible agency, at least in some parts of California. Last year, a broad coalition of environmentalists and animal advocacy groups filed a lawsuit accusing Mendocino County of failing to complete an environmental review before approving a $140,000 annual contract with Wildlife Services to kill predators and nuisance animals. This year, Mendocino County has agreed to suspend renewal of its contract pending completion of the EIR that will consider non-lethal methods of predator control. So, I mean, basically, they just went out and signed up for this thing and violated the law in doing it. And that's, one county. One wonders how many counties do this, because counties tend to be able to fly under the radar and do lots of things on their own. In 2000...
Yeah, because if the profile of the residents of that county skews more ag, more farmer or rancher oriented, there's not going to be anybody around to be the watchdog.
Right.
So,
and in fact, if these wildlife services are employing local hunters to do this sort of culling, they have a vested interest in making it happen. That's just extra profit for everybody. So in 2000, Marin County replaced its did we move from Mendocino? Yeah. So now we're talking about Marin County.
Yeah,
which
and 16 years ago.
Yeah. Well, data's hard to come by sometimes. In 2000, Marin County replaced its Wildlife Services contract with a non-lethal predator control program. So, there are other methods. And in 2011, the city of Calabasas adopted a coexistence plan with the assistance from Project Coyote. And I've also been seeing a lot about this in San Francisco, where there's a lot of urban coyotes now, and they're just trying to figure out how to deal with it. They're not killing them, for the most part, unless something is threatening them, but they're really trying to educate the public. They're here. They're in this park. Don't feed them. Leave them alone.
Yeah, don't leave cat food out for your cats. Don't leave your cats out.
Don't leave your cats out. Yeah. Don't make friends with them. And it seems to be working. I haven't heard about any coyotes, eating half of San Francisco.
Yeah, but when I was reading some of the stories, the mythology that supports wildlife services, I saw statements like, if you've never seen a coyote attack a kid, a toddler. Yeah. And it's like, no, actually, I don't think it happens that often. But
exactly.
That's the fear that they try to foment.
I mean, I've read articles about local ranchers, you know, shooting coyotes still, and there's still roads you can go drive up where they string dead coyotes out on the fence.
Yeah, Pasquinta Road.
Yeah, some mythology that's going to scare away the other coyote because they know what a dead-skinned coyote on a fence, that somehow makes sense to them. You know, it's just... you know, false masculinity really probably driving all that. But let me get back on topic here. So there have also been some major news pieces on this terrible agency, starting, I think, with a major investigative piece titled The Killing Agency by the Sacramento Bee back in 2014, which is pretty recent, and then a great in-depth piece in Harper's that ran earlier this year that you were alluding to earlier. Congress is also looking into this agency. Congressman Peter DeFazio, a Democrat from Oregon, and John Campbell, a Republican from Irvine, shocking, requested a review of the agency in 2014, calling for a complete audit of both the finances and the culture within wildlife services.
Right. So not just the money, but the inherent culture that's supporting this. I thought that was like brilliant.
I'm sure any fiscally conservative Republican would be interested in all of these big government type of operations that just sort of operate in perpetuity with little oversight and lots of tax dollars getting burned. So there's room on both sides of the figurative fence here. DeFazio says he has spent years asking for but not receiving information from wildlife services, which he calls the least accountable federal agency he has ever seen. DeFazio said he had to learn from the Los Angeles Times about an internal audit that found the agency's accounting practices were unreconcilable, lacked transparency, and violated state and federal laws. Basically, if you were CFO, you would get fired at that point.
Yeah.
Or in jail. Further, the audit revealed that $12 million in a special account could not be found. What do you think of that, Jeannie?
Right. So, yeah, they cook their books. They hire wildlife specialists in fulfillment of various contracts throughout the state with various counties. And they're happy as little clams, right? Because it's no one's calling them on it.
Right. And I suspect probably a small amount of people involved in these different areas, too. This reminds me of Clive and Bundy and the standoff in Oregon, where you had this guy from Nevada supposedly protesting things in another state, protesting the government by destroying government property and costing everybody money, but when in reality, all he does is exist on federal subsidies from these free grazing or low-cost grazing, and they won't even pay that. They want the land for free. They want everything for free. It's
they think it's their right to the land, right? But when, in fact, it's the federal government that is managing these public lands, and they're what...
Like Bidwell Park. I live by it. Is it mine? Can I take it?
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly. It's for all of us. They're public for a reason.
Right.
So, and this shows the difference between... This agency falls under USDA versus Department of Interior, which is what U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is under, and also things like National Park Service and things like
that. USDA, Department of Agriculture, they're the ones that the lobbyists and the subsidies flow to, so they're going to have vested interests in some of these programs continuing, of course, and less oversight, right?
Yep. It's just, it's a shame.
So if you've just tuned in, this is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, foothills, and beyond. You're listening to Non-Human Radio with host Jeannie Trezino and myself, Danny Toms.
So as a follow-up, because I've just been on this wildlife services thing for a while now, I just think it's horrible that there's this agency that's just doing the private bidding, basically.
Jeannie dug up a lot of research on this, more than we can do on air.
Yeah. I went to the Butte County website because I was curious, because I know part of this agency lives on contracts with counties all across the nation. So I was really not surprised but dismayed to see that Butte County renews a yearly contract with Wildlife Services that pays for one full-time, quote, wildlife specialist under what they call a cooperative agreement. So that means that the county kicks in about 60% of the cost of the whole program, which last year cost Butte County $67,000, which they pay to Wildlife Services. And then Wildlife Services kicks in the rest to cover the total labor benefits and then all the materials for this guy, I assume it's a guy, to do his, quote, job. So the wildlife specialist ends up making about $32 an hour, including benefits. It looked like it was a $55,000 a year type total package. And under the agreement, the county covers most of the annual wage of the employee, and the federal government pays the rest, and the federal government covers other materials. And I'm going to give you a list of the materials that were actually listed in the contract. High-pressure air rifles, snaring devices, rental of trailing hounds, right? Hound dogs, which are used to hunt bear and mountain lions. They track the animal and tree it, and then the hunter dispatches it. Or in this case, the wildlife specialist dispatches it. They are allowed to use leg hold traps, which are illegal in California if you're an average sick person who wants to use a leg hold trap.
That's just awful. Why not let them just drop napalm, right?
Yeah, exactly. They're allowed to use, quote, EPA toxicants, which means poisons. And wildlife services have been documented using cyanide and compound 1080, primarily to kill coyotes. But there are a lot of stories in the literature, and I don't know if there's any dogs in Butte County that have been killed from this, but a lot of people's pet dogs have been killed. One woman in Oregon, her dog was killed on her own property because she leased out her land to a rancher, and the rancher was having problems or reported problems with predators. So Wildlife Service came out and loaded her property up with poisons, and then her dog got into it.
I mean, just think of the vagaries of how this has to work, right? Somebody has to say, I'm having a problem with something I think doesn't sound like they're required to send in a tag or a precise photo. So something is bugging my herd. Somebody shows up and kills something. Everybody's happy. And like, did he even get the threatening animal?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a process.
No precision to that.
There's a process where there's first a technical assistance and a talk with the rancher. But yeah, who knows how in-depth
think
those
of the,
talks really are.
Every time there's sort of a mountain lion or a bear that ends up downtown and Chico or Paradise or down in Southern California, there's always a big uproar from the public about, are they tranquilizing it and returning it? Or did they have to, you know, quote-unquote kill it because it gave them a threatening look? And what probably the public doesn't know is how many of these animals are getting killed out in the woods.
Exactly.
For just being where they are in nature.
Yeah,
and somebody decided they wanted to put cattle in the mountains. You know?
Some of these wild animals come under like a dual jurisdiction between Wildlife Services as a federal agency and then our own California Department of Fish and Wildlife, which has other restrictions and ways to manage these animals. But it's I also looked at, in the contract, there was a page that talked about how many animals were killed in the prior year's contract, right? I guess so we know that Butte County is getting its money's worth for its contract, right? So I'm going to read a grisly list. In the 2013-2014 fiscal year, the number of animals that were killed in Butte County by Wildlife Services included 276 feral pigeons, as in rock doves, the regular gray and white city pigeons, 233 skunks, 101 ground squirrels, 70 beavers. I didn't even know we had that many beavers in Butte County.
Well, we have 70 less.
Yeah.
You know.
66 raccoons, and then also, two mountain lions, two black bears, and five coyotes, right? This trapper is busy on the taxpayer dollar protecting, protecting private ag in this county. So this is now not how I want my taxpayer dollar spent, either in county taxes or federal taxes.
I mean, that's definitely more than an animal a day, which leads into the use of poisons and traps and sort of indiscriminate, just kill a bunch of things in an area. I also wonder, does he get to turn around and sell the beaver fur and make extra money?
Yeah, really. One wonders.
I wouldn't, of course. They're already dead at that point, but if they're making additional profit, why are we paying them?
Yeah. So I'm going to go up. We're running short on time, but I also looked up the Shasta County Wildlife Services contract for 2015-2016. They pay $118,000. For their wildlife services contract. So that's like almost twice as much as Chico or Butte County. And their contract, interestingly enough, was a 69-page document. The Butte County document was like 12 to 15 pages. And Shasta County's was 69 pages. It had a report. It did have an element referring to the CEQA, environmental impact review. So they were definitely, it's a defensive contract against animal advocates.
Yeah, they probably got busted at some point. Yeah. So they.
So anyway, yeah, so it was just, that was just very, very, just a black and white difference between the two contracts. But
right.
Nevertheless, the same number, the same array of animals got killed. I did notice that there was something like, what were my notes here? I think something like, hang on here. There we go.
She's got a lot of notes.
Yeah, really. Over 100,000 red-winged blackbirds were killed. Can you imagine that? And, like, who would a red-winged blackbird bother, right?
Right. I mean, you know, there's, to be fair, there's probably cases where it's airports, it's levees. But again, let's be specific in our reporting and tracking of this stuff.
Yep. So, anyway. So, if you just tuned in, do you have any last words, Danny?
No.
I think this is one agency that should be like written off as a line item when they come around to the next ag bill. That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, you'll never see anything written out of an ag bill, but
I know.
I'd like to at least get some accountability there.
Yeah.
Make sure it's not the game warden's cousin who's getting this contract every time, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
You look in the small towns, you'll find that.
Anyway, if you just tuned in, this is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio. You've been listening to Non-Human Radio with host Jeannie Trezina, that's me, and Danny Toms.
Well, that is all we have for news. Now it's time for the Non-Human Radio weekly calendar events. Back to you, Jeannie.
So, local musician Mark Johnson will be performing songs from the American Songbook this Friday, August 26th. From 7:30 to 9 p.m. at the Science of Mind Church in Chico. And proceeds from the show will benefit Farm Sanctuary. The evening will feature songs from the great American songwriters of the 1930s, such as Jerome Kern, George Gershwin, Cole Porter, and Hoagy Carmichael. Tickets are available at the door. The Science of Mind Church is located at 14 Hillary Lane in Chico. And then this Saturday, August 27th, at 6 p.m. at the Chico Library Community Room is the Chico Vegan Potluck. Everyone is welcome, and I guarantee everyone can try and enjoy being vegan for 2 hours. The theme for this month's potluck is Farmers Market Fun, and the idea is you go to the farmers market, find something yummy, make it, and bring it to share. And potluck details can be found at chicovegan.com. So, and I think that's it for the calendar. There's some more items, but we are running short on time.
We will post them online.
So this was a busy news week, and it was great talking about these issues, this issue of wildlife services with you, Danny.
Yeah, thanks for getting all this research done, Jeannie. It was great.
Yeah, I, you know, there's these big national problems, but they only get solved at a local level,
right?
I think, because God knows Congress hasn't been doing much, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, we have one last bit of business to take care of.
That is the Animal Rights Thought of the Week by everyone's favorite American poet, novelist, and short story writer, Charles Bukowski, who wrote, "The problem with the world is that the intelligent people are full of doubts, while the stupid ones are full of confidence."
Non-Human Radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you. Thanks to Sue Hildebrand for her engineering assistance today. Be sure to stay tuned for her show, The Real Issue, coming up next.
This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, or its staff. Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist rockers Rise Against.
If you missed any portion of this show or you want to listen again, visit us online at nonhumanradio.com. This is Jeannie Trezino and Danny Toms signing off. Until next week, be different, be better, be kind,
and go vegan.